City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to City Current. It's Wednesday, May 20th. I'm here in the studio at Dakota Media Access. I'm Mary Van Sickle. And joining me today is City Administrator Jim Newbar. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Mary. Here we are in doing our Zoom thing again with City Current. So I appreciate Dakota Media is making accommodations for everybody during the pandemic. And hopefully we'll be back to in studio shortly.
At some point, yes. Yep. Some point soon, we hope. we're here to talk about the activity and the City Commission meeting last night, as always. Not a really long meeting, but there were a couple of major items on there, and we want to get to that. First on the agenda, though, closely up front, it was a public hearing on a Schaaf Estates was the name of the project, and kind of unusual, a little different kind of a project that was proposed. And it seemed to it was a preliminary plat that was approved, had a few conditions on it. Can you explain a little bit why it was on the, why this had those conditions, Jim?
Yep. Like you said, it was a preliminary plat set for a public hearing, which, this has been through our Planning and Zoning Commission, and now it's up to the City Commission for their consideration. If the area is to the north of Rough Rider Estates, which is in the northwest part of Mandan. The reason this is, had some discussion last night was the property kind of borders what we, back in 2004, 2005, I think there was a route set for a northern bridge corridor, which at that point in time was a kind of a bypass around the north side of Mandan and Bismarck, along the, which would become that kind of like the new interstate. This property borders that, so there needs to be a sufficient amount of right-of-way reserved along that route as these projects come in for review by the city.
So there's a long-term project for a northern bridge route and corridor, but this just puts some protections in place then as the future, in the future, so this can still move forward.
Right. Part of our responsibility and from a city standpoint and from, Morton County, Burley County, City of Bismarck, and Lincoln is when this area was chosen as a potential corridor was for those local jurisdictions to make sure that, in this case, they're asking for a 200 foot corridor, which means 100 feet of property on the right, 100 feet of property on the left. And the city needs to preserve that for the future road. So you don't have to come along and if a corridor is built 20 years from now, you're not in buying up houses and you're not buying up property because this property has already been preserved in a right-of-way status. So again, part of last night's discussion was making sure that, that there needs to be that 100 feet of right-of-way preserved in that preliminary plat. So our planner, John Van Dyke, will go back to the developers and the property owners and make sure that they understand that. And we'll have some changes made to that preliminary plat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our new business last night was a storefront improvement project in the downtown area. It was kind of exciting. Ellen Huber brought that forward as your community development director. And this has to do with an existing business from that was located in the Mandan Morton Library High School and moving into a different facility in the downtown area.
Right. Frankie and his family are going to be moving the Rice Bowl out of the library. They'll be moving it over basically just across the street to the north, and they've acquired some property and they want to do a facelift on that property and make some changes to it. They'll have main street parking one level and things like that, so I think that excites them a little bit. This was kind of the impetus with our library expansion and remodeling and things like that. They thought this was an opportune time to maybe we should own property. They've been renting from the city for 20 plus years. And it's been a very good partnership. We've been happy to have them there, and we're even happier to have them moving across the street and staying in town.
Yeah, great to retain a great business like that. They do a wonderful job, and they're certainly a known quantity, and it was easy for the commission to unanimously approve this. And basically what they asked for was matching funds to do an exterior renovation. As I understand, it's some painting and signage and yep. work. Doors.
Windows and storefront windows and things like that, that, you know, that the building they're moving into, which is, I think, 107 4th Avenue Northwest, needs a little TLC, and they'll do some interior remodeling, but the storefront improvement program is intended to be your exterior side. So they're repaint, new windows, and again, new storefront glass and things like that. So
this would be, as I understand it, then just east across the street from Runnings.
Just east of Runnings, correct. Yep.
Very close to their old location. So
yeah, it's, you know, they're going to be a stone's throw away from where they used to be. Yeah. And again, we're happy, very happy to have them in town. Their storefront program provides for up to a 50% match on the improvements you make. So in this case, the improvements are over $60,000. It's like a 2-for-1 match up to 30. So the growth fund's recommendation was to approve that $30,000 match in storefront improvement money.
I think there was a question also on the timeline about when they expect to open. And yep. Ellen Huber said, well, their initial plans were probably in July, but because of all the change in our pandemic situation here, it might be delayed. But she also mentioned that they could be looking at some interior improvements as well and maybe coming back for a growth fund allowance from the commission at some point.
Yep. This project, again, I think they had originally thought about July as being over in their new location. Again, COVID-19 and the whole pandemic situation has caused plans in many different areas to be adjusted. And in this case, they're probably looking at late August or September. They may take some of their existing furnishings, move them over to the new location and things like that. We expect that, you know, this is in the downtown area. It is in within the Renaissance Zone. So we're looking at potentially a Renaissance Zone project on this also.
Sounds good.
So, yeah. We're extremely happy to have them stay in Mandan. They're, you know, a big part of the downtown community and a lot of takeout and a lot of eating in going on at the Rice Bowl.
They have really good pot stickers, by the way. I know this. I've experienced
that, so. Sounds like someone who's had experience.
Yes, absolutely. Well, staying in that same neighborhood, the library renovation yes. and expansion and the parks were on the agenda next. And I'm always a little excited to hear about this. It's going to be such a beautiful addition to the whole entire city, not only the downtown area. And it was fairly detailed. You had your consultants there presenting the final design concepts. And they were there in front of the commission last night to ask for permission to go out for bids. The process and this project has gone through so many steps. I understand you have a steering committee, you have the MPO, you have the city commission and many levels, lots of eyeballs on this project that have contributed to the conversation and all the elements that are involved.
Yep. And go back a little bit when this first started, Energy Transfer came to the city and Mayor Helbling and Commissioner Davis were instrumental in that and said, you know, we'd like to do something for the community as a whole. What kind of projects do you have that you're going on that you might not be able to fund otherwise? We had taken them through the library, taken them through the park, told them all the events that go on downtown from Buggies and Blues, Rodeo, Parade, you know, pick your favorite. And they were impressed with that and said, how can we help you make these events better on the event side and also from the library side? You know, we've got, you know, Jackie Hawes, I call them door swings, and she calls them people coming in and out of the library. I didn't really realize we had 95,000 door swings or people coming in and out of the library during a year. And the library needs a little TLC, and it's a little short on space for what they're doing. And therefore, Energy Transfer came in and said, you know, we'd love to help you out. Here's $3 million.
Well, and the library sits in an old freight house, a warehouse that was
correct
railroad. And I recall when that was a shell of a building and they first had that renovated and moved in there. So they've adapted to a space that wasn't really designed for a modern library, no doubt. And, you know, now it's sat for 20, 30 years that way. Certainly needed some TLC, as you say.
Yep.
But it also is going through an expansion and there's a big addition on the library as well as the renovation to the existing space. that'll give meeting room space and gathering spaces. It's really exciting to see that.
Yeah, it's always fun taking, you know, like I said, it was a Burlington Northern Freight House or Northern Pacific Freight House, whichever, however far back you want to go. And to see it converted to, I think it was Promark at one time, occupied a large part of that building. That was years ago, probably 20 years ago. And in turn, when the call centers moved out, then the city was able to acquire this building for the library. Wasn't really set up to be a library, you know, a shotgun style building, long rectangular building is not the ideal setup for a library. However, you know, with this grant money that we've been able to receive, let's see how we can, you know, make it more functional for both the workers and John Q. Public that comes into the library. So we've added all kinds of things in there that'll help Jackie and her crew out.
And also parking and a garage for the building, which is a big benefit to the library, so they can load and unload in a protected out of the elements area as well. So
right, that was, you know, kind of one of the starting points of all the discussions with Energy Transfer. And, you know, what do you need as a library? Well, when Mandan, City of Mandan and Morton County combined the library about 15 years ago, it's like, okay, we've got the bookmobile and it's been stored up at the Morton County shop. They'll come down, load, unload, drive it back up. Just really inconvenient. And it, like I said, we need a bookmobile building. And in turn, what has morphed into that was an expansion of the library. And like I said, I think we found a way with the help of Joe Larrabee, Bartlett & West, and also Wendy Van Dyne from Stantec, the consultants that are on board on this project, to make that not a separate building, but also we're trying to make it in combination with the existing building as an addition and provide additional working space for the library employees. There'll be more space for the patrons of the library. We've got public bathrooms was a big thing on the list. We've got public bathrooms in there. We've got space for the bookmobile. So books can come in and out and you can wash the bookmobile in there and still be in a safe and secure environment too.
And I think that one of the niceties of this program, of this design too, is the way it connects the library into the park.
Yep.
The existing building and the new building will have some decks, overhangs, whatever, upper and lower.
Yep.
Look into the area by the band shell so that they can be also some viewing areas from there. So it does that nice transition. And then the band shell stays in place, but also adds some shade sails to keep people protected and a little more comfortable in the summer months.
Yeah, one of the things that with Dutch elm, you know, ravaging through the community in the last many years, we've lost several trees around the band shell. And we still have, you know, we'll see what happens this summer, but, you know, basically Monday through Thursday in the park in the summertime, there's bands that are playing or musical events, and the sun gets a little hot on folks, so let's add some shade sails. Also off the addition to the library is a public seating area, kind of like a large deck. Right off of two large meeting rooms for the library that can be utilized. We've got second floor deck coming off the second floor of the library that can be utilized, whether, you know, if you're a corporation or a family and you want to rent that second floor balcony to watch the parade off, that would be a possibility, you know. So we're trying to find, you know, multiple uses for all of the things that we're doing in there right now.
And last night's presentation was very similar to a previous presentation that they had given to the City Commission. There weren't a lot of changes, some minor tweaks. I believe the park had moved some sidewalks around, eliminated the bump outs on Main Avenue there. But other than that, there weren't a huge amount of changes.
Right, the library addition pretty much stayed intact. Like I said, they're working on finishes and all those, you know, HVAC, electrical systems, all kinds of that really fun stuff. The library, Wendy and her crew found kind of a different way to configure the area around between the depot and the beanery. You know, we want to make that, again, more friendly, pedestrian-friendly, family-friendly areas with, you know, we've got some benches. We are looking at putting some fire pits in there that are natural gas that can be, you know, controlled by a master
theme. Lighting was also included in there as well. Some neat lighting and some art and.
Did have to make some adjustments because I think the last meeting when we got bids in on the conversion of Main Street, you know, in this area from 4-lane to 3-lane, we were going to pick up parking on the south side with some, you know, curb extensions and bulb outs. We rejected those bids because they came in way higher than we had anticipated. And with, state of the economy today, it was not one of those things that seemed to be prudent to move forward on. So again, some minor tweaks in there, but really good ones.
So the presentation last night and then the approval to go out for bids really involved the library project as well as the park up to the depot area. There's also another phase to this potentially for the park. It will depend upon funding, I'm sure, and how this step goes first. But that's still in the potential as well for the other side of the park to be added to as well.
Yeah, when we contracted with Bartlett and West and Stantec, what we said was, at their suggestion, was you really need a master plan for this whole downtown area. So we went from, you know, the parking areas that are to the west of the existing library all the way down through kind of where Birch Florist is, if you're familiar, on the Heritage Plaza, Heritage Park, the fountain, where that is. And so we've got a master plan for that whole area, and we can add or subtract pieces to that as funding becomes available. So this part, hopefully, we'll be able to do the library addition, the bookmobile, you know, area, the Dykstra and Park area, and in between the depot and the beanery, and get that done. And then we'll see how funding comes about. And phase two would be kind of from the depot going east.
So the bids coming in probably sometime in July, do you think?
I would guess, yep. Contractors or architects are trying to get the bid packages ready to go out the first part of June. Bids come in, you know, sometime the first part of July into June. In turn, by the time they get reviewed and sent to the city commission, we're probably talking mid to later July. Activity could then potentially start in August sometime. And we'll see how that, you know, shakes out when you have building projects. It's always nice to get the get your feet wet and get your work that you need on the ground done before freeze up. And then, like I said, if you want to construct your building over winter, you can do that.
All right. Well, we'll be talking about it again as the bids come in, and we can keep our fingers crossed. We know we have some bids coming in a little higher than you normally like, but hopefully this will be a little different.
Yep, this is like you're talking park projects, and you're talking a building, not necessarily street construction going on here. So, you know, what we're being told is it's a favorable time to get this bid package out on the street. And again, hopefully we will see those really favorable results coming back in the first part of July.
Sounds good. Yep. Another part of the meeting last night, another large part of the meeting, had to do with another huge road project coming up. And not necessarily next year or the year after, but it's moving forward, and that's the reconstruction of Memorial Highway, a very large project necessitated by the fact that the road's nearing the end of its useful life. You've also got utilities in there that need to be replaced, and never a project that a community really has to want to look at, but it's necessary. So this is moving forward. You and I have talked about it here as well in the past. So this is the next step.
Right.
So last night, the commission was asked to do what, Jim? What last on the agenda?
So there's some decisions. It's called a decision document that comes out from the North Dakota Department of Transportation and Federal Highway that, we're kind of through the initial design phases of this project, and decisions need to be made on, okay, do you want concrete or asphalt? Obviously, we want concrete. It's got a much higher useful life. It's just going to last a heck of a lot longer than asphalt does. What do you want on your multi-purpose trail, which is planned for to be on the south side of the road? Consulting with the park district and things like that, that would be asphalt because that's easier to maintain for their folks. And all the driveways in there will still be, I think, concrete. So you'll be having to maneuver between concrete and asphalt. And there was also a stormwater issue that is another big reason that reconstruction needs to happen on the strip is so that all this water that accumulates in those ditches, you know, if we look back into the 70s, we're working with a 2-lane rural road through here. And now we're into a 5-lane, still kind of a rural section because you've got open ditches, you've got culverts, there's no curb and anything like that. So in this project, stormwater is one of the big things that needs to be dealt with also.
And as I understand then, as far as the funding package, that this is a partnership with state and federal government, our watch, they'll pick up 90% of the road and the stormwater corrections here. 10% would go to the city on this, in this part of this project.
Yep. In this case, it's a, we call it a 90-10 project or a 80-10-10. It's really 80.93, and it's, so it's really 81 federal and 9 state and 10 on the locals and rough numbers. Again, so everything, if you think of this construction project, is everything above ground is funded with that 90-10 ratio. Everything below ground is 100% city. Now, stormwater is considered part of the road. So therefore, stormwater is a 90-10 split also, which is good.
And a lot of the discussion last night had to do with the stormwater. There seems to be an agreement on the roadway, at least at this juncture. But stormwater, there was a lot of discussion and a lot of options that have been explored. One of the first that was presented was way back was pension ponds, which didn't seem like anybody was too excited about. And it seems that last night's discussion moved away from that, finding another alternative.
Yep. You know, detention ponds, if you have the area to use them, are usually less expensive than, you know, piping and pumping stormwater out of an area. Detention ponds are also used to, it's kind of like a holding pond, so that if there's a mad rush of water, you can store it in that holding pond and then get it pumped out after the rush is over. And so there's several functions that work well with detention ponds. In this area of town, we're looking at the logical choices for detention ponds were, you know, taking up a lot of valuable property along the strip, whether that's a 2-acre parcel here or a 5-acre parcel here. We're talking significant chunks of land that once they go into that detention pond, it's a long-term maintenance cost for the city. And also that property gets really taken out of production. So it's not a tax-producing property anymore. You can't put a business on it. You can sometimes incorporate really nice stormwater features into the layout of a development. But in this case, you know, it's just the land is very valuable and what makes most sense. And in this case, it was, let's get the water to places where we can pump it out into the Heart River with, you know, build a larger pump and build larger pipe so that we, again, in this case, I think the costs were very similar to doing detention ponds and things like that. So we've been pushing pretty hard from a city standpoint that, you know, we really don't want the long-term maintenance on detention ponds. And also, it, like we said earlier, it takes that property out of production forever.
And then there was general agreement, again, on the roadway. It's a 5-lane road. It'll remain a 5-lane road, the center lane being a turn lane both directions.
Yep.
There's also some conversation about the intersections at certain intersections. I believe there were 3 that would have a raised median in there, and that was really the only change that is going to be.
Yep, you're looking at the intersection of, I think, 46th and Memorial Highway, which is out by the Colonial and the funeral home in that area. You've got the stoplight, temporary stoplights that are by Kiss Livestock right now. Those will become permanent. And they're looking at raised medians there, but there's continued discussion on raised medians because a lot of the business owners that are located there are not real happy with that. But like I said, we'll continue to have discussions with them. And then the intersection that most people have been asking for a stoplight is at Memorial Highway or the Strip and 3rd, which is right by McDonald's. Oh. And so that has finally met what they call warrants to allow a signalized, make that a signalized intersection. So we'll be talking in 2024, 4 years from now, when that becomes a signalized intersection, if the plan goes according to construction moves according to plan. So we're still a ways away.
Yeah, but, lots of negotiations, lots of discussions with property owners and business owners. The other thing I was surprised to hear or read in your documents was that along Memorial Highway, there's 112 access points currently.
Yep.
And that creates a public safety issue when you have that much traffic in and out of this roadway that carries so much traffic.
Yep,
so
I think,
as I understand, you're trying to decrease the amount of access points as well.
Yeah. Again, part of the safety of entering Memorial Highway right now, sometimes when it's really busy, you're kind of scratching your head on how am I going to get out onto this driving lane in traffic. So again, they're trying as best, and there's been many discussions with all the property owners along the corridor about, if you have neighbors, and maybe you each have a driver, and each you have two driveways, and your neighbor has two driveways, is there a way we can combine those into one? Some success in that so far, and still a ways to go yet. But like I said, the whole goal is to minimize the amount of driveways that are hitting that major thoroughfare that'll be going through there.
So along with the road project and the stormwater is the utility issue of water and sanitary sewer. And that's, as I understand, Jim, that's the responsibility of the city pretty
extensively
as far as the cost. But while you're ripping all this up, this seems like an opportune time to replace all this.
You look at all of our, look at any street project, and you're also looking at the underground too, because you don't want to be putting a new driving service on and then a year later coming, oh, well, I've got 100-year-old water lines under here. Now I have to go tear up your driving surface. So we always look at the underground in this area. It's probably 70s vintage. But again, there's some pipe that was put in the 70s that, you think pipe lasts forever in the ground, but it doesn't. And it may have another 10 years worth of life on it. But at the same time, as we're tearing into the roadway project, let's take care of the underground the best we can. And again, this is 100% local funds. We are also, we're applying for some grant money through the State Water Commission to help out with the water side of this project. So again, combination of state, federal, local property tax, local sales tax, any grant monies that we can find, and also our water and sewer utility fund trying to help out this project.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the timeline that you envisioned for this, Jim?
Yep.
What this looks like coming in the next few years?
Yeah, and one of the things that may affect the timeline is funding. We've seen, we have projects scheduled this year to reconstruct Old Red Trail from Mandan Avenue up to Collins Avenue, and then out to the north. Because of some state highway projects that came in over budget in the eastern part of the state, that funding for that money wasn't available this year, so it got moved to next year, to 2021. What we've asked in our comments last night is for the Municipal Infrastructure Fund, also known as the Prairie Dog monies, with the price of oil and things like that, those are always up for question right now too. And we would have probably hoped to use some of those funds to help decrease, the local cost here on this project. Those are at issue. And as part of our comments back, we said, hey, if you guys get the ability to move a project back, then the city should have the ability to move a project back a year while we get funding sources straightened out too. So that was also made. But again, like I said, the Water and Sewer Utility Fund will be funding the balance of most of what goes on under here.
Do you anticipate then 2022? Is that the first part of it will be done?
Yep. We talked about this project a few years ago, and the first inclination was it might be a 10-year project. And that was based on, I think, West Fargo had a Main Street reconstruct, and that was took them 10 years to do that. This is a similar project. We didn't like that much, because that is really disruptive to your businesses along there for 10 years. It'd be what a nightmare. So right now, if everything falls into place, funding things fall into place, you're looking at the summer of 2022 is work that would be done on the storm sewer side, which would be not on the driving surface. It would be off to the sides of of the roadway. So your traveling disruption then would happen in 2023 and 2024 would be the major reconstruct on the underground utilities and the above ground driving surface.
And as I understand then, that 2023 would do half Memorial Highway road, and then the next year you do the next half of the roadway.
Yep, as they get into final design and they have more more conversation with contractors, and you know, that's part of that discussions that happen is what is the best way, you know, an engineering folks can sit in the office and design a project all they want, but is it constructible and what makes the most sense? Will they do maybe the south half 1 year and the north half the other year? Will they split it up and go, you know, everything on the east side will be done this year and the west side the next year? So those details will be worked out. But again, we're looking at two construction seasons to really disrupt the driving surface that goes along the highway.
Big project. It's going to be disruptive, but and it's all worth it.
It's like I said, we think that'll improve your driving experience, make things a heck of a lot safer out there.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we'll talk about it again when it comes back.
So. I'm sure we will.
Item under resolutions and ordinances last night. This something you talked about at your last meeting, and this has to do with liquor license fees. Are getting close to being due, but the city took action last night to change that.
Yep, we you know, we all understand that there's been a very tremendous hardship put on your restaurants, your bars, and establishments like that. Most of the restaurants have a liquor license. It's a Class E, I think, that is a food and liquor establishment. Those applications, those licenses, come due June 30th. So the board took action last night to extend those licenses that are in place to August 31st. Along with that, you know, the board had the first consideration last night of that ordinance and passed it. So it'll have a second consideration the first Tuesday in June. And should they approve that, which I'm pretty sure they will, we have a resolution drafted that will also give, you know, those kind of restaurant and bar licenses kind of 2 months of forgiveness, or 1/6 of their license fee will be not due. And that'll be spelled out in the resolution that we bring forward, and that those funds won't be due until, again, August 31st. We're giving them another 2 month reprieve on the application process, 2 months as a waiver of the fees, except for our Class D and D1s, which are your, you know, kind of strictly your off sale liquor license and your, just call them your gas station beer and wine licenses and things like that. So
they've remained open throughout.
They've remained open. Yep. And some folks would say their business has gone up a little bit. You know, I don't have anything other to do that than the drive-bys and go, you know, there's a lot of cars in that parking lot today.
You'll know when the sales tax collections come in, I'm sure.
Yep.
Well, that wrapped up your agenda last night. Mm-hmm. We have a little bit of time left, so I just want to remind everyone that we have a primary election on June 9th. So a vote by mail is the way we're going in North Dakota. So people should have their applications already in the mail from the Secretary of State's office. If you don't, you need to contact them and get a hold of them. But your ballot should be, hopefully you've got your ballot, mail that in. So
yep, your ballot you'll need to mail in, or you can drop it off. You know, I dropped mine off the other day at the Morton County Courthouse, where you don't have to go through security. You can just walk in and drop it in the secure box. And so that works kind of like absentee voting.
And we don't have a lot of contested local races. We don't have a lot of contested local races, unfortunately, in this primary. But we did conduct some candidate interviews with your school board candidates. That is a contested race. So on our website at freetv.org, you can watch those, or they're also playing on the Government Access Channel. You can watch and listen to the Mandan School Board candidates. They're very interesting to inform yourself about that particular race. And that will be a final election on June 9th. As I understand, your Morton County candidates, they'll all proceed to the November election. And your city commission and mayor election were not contested.
So. Not contested, so those folks will remain in place. I think we'll have a new city commissioner, and starting think the date is the fourth Tuesday in June or the third. I can't remember which one it is, but we'll have one new commissioner come the end of June.
Yeah. So, but the mayor last night did touch on, at the end of the meeting, he touched on the MPO and right. some of the events. I mean, obviously, Mandan is known for a lot of their special events throughout the summer. And as of now, Buggies and Blues, as I understand, has been moved to August.
I think it, yeah, I think Buggies and Blues have been moved to August 14th and 15th, if I'm not mistaken. You know, check the MPO's website for the exact dates, but they're kind of, they didn't cancel it. They're just postponing it or rescheduling it. That's good. I know the Progress Organization's Board of Directors is meeting as we speak to also talk about what we want to do with things like the parade, the art in the park, the rodeo, and things like that. So I don't know that they will make a decision today because they are also meeting with all of those committees to gather their input before a final decision is made. And, you know, we've got city representation there on how that all is going to work. So yeah, a lot of things that are changing in the world today.
Absolutely. And as of now, Jim, your city hall remains, doors are locked, but people do have access either through phone, website, yep. or there's a phone in your lobby, as I understand it.
We have a phone on our south side entrance where you can call and you can reach any of our departments and we'll come in. Chat with you, and if you need to come in, we'll let you in, and we'll keep our social distancing guidelines up. And so, yeah, we are still locked. Hopefully, we'll know more by the end of this week on how long we'll continue that. After we'll have some discussions with Morton County and with Custer Health, and make the best decision that we can in the interests of citizens and also our employees.
Yeah, and I know that Josh here has been putting up your cityofmandan.com website on the screen. Yep. That is the place where people should be going for information and updates, no doubt. You also have a Facebook page.
Facebook and Instagram, all that
yeah.
stuff.
And you can sign up for the Mandan Messenger, and I'm sure all of that information about how the city is going to
yep.
open up and when you'll open up, and certainly will also include MPO updates on the events that are happening this summer.
Right. A couple new things that we've added in the last couple months is, you know, you can pay your utility bill online, and as of the next day or two, you'll be able to call in and do it over the phone with a credit card number, which we didn't have that capability to do before. So that's something new that we should be coming out with a press release today on. That and also our Mandan Messenger, we now have that in the electronic version that you can receive. So you can sign up to receive that because we've got, you know, many more folks that are having their utility bill online, paid online, and they're getting it electronically. So we wanted to have an electronic application for our Mandan Messenger. So we now have that in place too.
Progress.
Yep. And yep, I just wanted to throw one quick shout out to all of the folks that came out on Saturday. It was a beautiful morning on Community Mandan's Keep Mandan Beautiful Day, Mandan Community Cleanup Day, whatever you want to call it. I think we had over 237 people had registered on our website. I know we had over 200 people actually show up, and we did our best to keep social distancing. I think people had a pretty good time. A lot of families were out there, a lot of groups, you know, we talk about your household pod would go out together and pick up garbage. And we think the community looks a heck of a lot better. So again, thank you to all of our sponsors. Thank you to Ellen and Carrie and Amy Schmidt and Lori Langang and the crew that kind of works really hard in this. But it was a fun event. And even though we didn't have the, we did have Bears Cat donuts that were made available in the morning. We didn't have the lunch for everybody afterwards, but everyone understands it. Like I said, for an event like that to pull off when in today's world, you're doing our best to make sure that, you know, we continue to function as a community. And like I said, hats off to everybody who came out and helped out, made a big difference.
We're all adapting under these special circumstances.
Yep.
So hopefully next time you come or
okay.
sometime soon, we'll be back yes. together, but we'll use Zoom as long as we need to. So thanks, Jim, for being here today.
Yeah, and thanks for having us, Mary. We appreciate it.
All right. We'll be back together probably in a couple of weeks. Take
All
care.
Right. Yep, bye-bye.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.